Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 82 of the podcast today. Macon Pleva from a couple months ago, one of our former teammates, former fullback for the University of Iowa, former walk-on, joins to co-host the episode, co-host the show. We're talking national championship, championship weekend of the NFL, and many more topics. Let's get into it. You know what it is. Have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 82 of the podcast. And today in particular, you know, it's always a great day to be alive. It's always a great day to be a Hawkeye. But today in particular, it's a great day to be a Washed Up Walk-On. And that's because we actually have four Washed Up Walk-Ons on the show today. One of my boys is back wearing the greatest hat that was ever created. No, it's not a Make America Great hat again. It's a Make Fullbacks Great Again hat. And when he showed up, I mean, that just kind of brought the energy that we needed to the podcast today because I was taking my morning dump and I texted Make. It's NFC AFC Championship Week. I said, hey, man, bang, bang, Niner gang, you bitch. And so we started talking a little shit back and forth. And here we go. We got him on the podcast today. So I think we're probably going to have some pretty good content, whether it's the Hawks, whether it's the NFL, whether it's Mystic Mac putting that fucking piston on Cerrone's face yesterday. 40 seconds. Man, let's get into this thing because I'm pretty fired up.
The Make Fullbacks Great Again hat, that's by is that by the Green Bay guy?
Beef Smith, I think, right?
Don't give Vitaly that credit. He just got caught wearing it. He was now my brother is playing at Iowa. He's a fullback right now. So he's giving me this, and he's got like three other sweatshirts and shit. So I'm spreading it around.
He's all about it. How's he doing over in Iowa City?
He's doing good. He's grinding through it, you know, redshirt freshman year. So trying to figure out where he belongs. And
he's going through that shit.
Kick some ass a little bit.
Yeah.
How it is.
In the shit, baby. That's where it all starts. Maybe future guest of the show, hopefully.
I think he'd love it. He's not washed up, though. He's just getting started. That's for sure.
That's
He's
true.
Got more to come.
He's still got a lot left in him.
We've got to make it five seasons without the First Amendment being taken away from us because I've said something too blatantly terrible. So if we're still around
in 5 years when your brother graduates, this is truly
America. If Trump is not the president anymore at some point, and we, I mean, even if he gets reelected, if our show goes past his next presidency or if somebody else gets elected, they might come after that, that amendment just because of our podcast alone. So
they can't take shit.
Yeah, we're joined by what'd you say, Kev?
I said they're going to bring us before the Senate. It's like, reasons to revoke the First Amendment, Article 1, the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. These guys have no right to free speech because they abuse it. They abuse it.
They just play a compilation of Drake. They literally just play that highlight episode that I made, and Drake's just playing in the courtroom, and everyone's looking around at each other like, who the fuck is this guy? What's going on? No, but we're joined by Macon Pleva today. Thanks for guest co-hosting.
First multi-time guest, I think, right?
Yeah, first multi-time guest.
Ooh, how about that?
Really deserves it.
It's only right that we have my uncle on for the first multi-time guest.
And there is a lot to talk about, as Drake mentioned. We've got at the time we did the podcast last week, only 2 of the 4 games had been played. So we were still waiting on, I don't even remember who the second 2 games were. The Seattle-Green Bay game, I believe, and whatever game.
The fucking domination? Is that what you're saying?
The domination.
Running for his wife?
Yeah, so we got a lot to talk about there. Those games are about to play today. The Niners and George Kittle are going to take on A-Rodge and the pack, and
bang bang.
And for those that don't know, Macon Pleva, Macon Plays, big time Pack fan.
So who's Make? Tell me this right now. Yeah. Who's a bigger Packer fan between you and Pete?
Me. Yeah. I have no idea. I think
I was supposed to be.
I would expect Pete to say the exact same thing. I mean, it's in the blood at this point. So.
I was supposed to be out with them in Santa Clara watching the game, but the return flight from San Francisco was just obnoxiously expensive because the Allegiant one was supposed to come back on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Obviously that doesn't work. So didn't end up going.
If he's going to that game wearing any 49ers gear, that.
Well, what I'm saying is that Pete's got a serious conflict of interest going on here, dude. He's in George's wedding. He's one of his best men. He's been best friends with the dude, but he's a lifelong Packers fan. That's kind of why I brought up the question. Cause
there's no complications there. I mean, like, George, great guy. Love you. Fucking stomped out today. You know, go Pack, go.
He said, I hope you get fucking stomped out.
The ultimate situation is it's like 24-21 and George scores the 3 touchdowns, but the Packers win by 3 for you, Mike.
That's fine. He can score 8 touchdowns as long as the Packers win. That's okay. Fine.
All right, Kevin, it's nice to have you. We were just before we hit the record button talking about your – I mean, you're traveling the world. You're down in Texas, you said?
I was down in Texas this last week, yep.
And you were there for the entire week?
Got there Sunday, left yesterday, yeah.
Okay, and where are you right now?
I am in Chicago right now.
Okay, all right. So, Kevin, as always, he's as about as remote as it gets. There's a good chance he'll be podcasting, tuning in from Antarctica or somewhere every other week, because that's just where Stryker decides to send him.
You know what? If they want to start a division down in Antarctica, I'd volunteer to go because I love penguins. I think it'd be cool to hang out.
Penguins are cool.
Penguins are cool.
Kevin's just a limousine riding, jet flying, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing.
Son of a gun.
Lyrics a little bit out of order there, but yeah, that's how I'm living my life these days.
So the NFL was finalized. We've got those 4 teams playing today. Shortly after that, last Monday, the national championship went down, and some controversy.
Thank you, LSU and the Joe Burrow Go Tigers for the nice payday.
LSU, Clemson, hell of a matchup. Obviously 2 of the 3 best teams in the country by far and away. Incredible game. I actually didn't even see the end of the game because I was so late. I mean, that game took forever.
That was the single longest college game I've ever watched.
Well, yeah, it was super long, but like, how do you blow Like, you have one game on the entire day. How does the TV network manage to blow putting it in primetime television? The fourth quarter, I was in the central time zone. Fourth quarter ended at like midnight.
And it started at 7:30?
Yeah, I think it's kickoff was like 7:15 or something like that. It's
absolutely absurd. Mike, did you catch any of the national championship?
Yeah, I watched it. I turned it off when it was – I mean, when LSU had them routed, it was like, this shit's over.
Yeah, so LSU answered a lot of questions. It was weird because both teams kind of answered a bunch of questions. LSU had obviously – I mean, the resume they put together, especially with the national championship on top of it, being talked about as one of the greatest teams in college football history. Clemson, on the other hand, really unproven, which is crazy to say – after, I mean, they hadn't lost a game in 2 years, but throughout the season, unproven. They hadn't played really anyone. And so it was kind of weird.
I mean, like, they beat Ohio State.
Other than Ohio State, before the Ohio State. They kind of, I mean, they obviously shut people up there. A lot of people were jumping on that Clemson cover train. Drake, you stayed true to the...
I just knew... After watching the game live, I was at Ohio State Clemson. I thought Clemson was the better, or I mean, Ohio State was the better team. Sorry. I know Clemson won the game, but I personally thought Ohio State was the better team. I didn't think there was any chance that Ohio State could run with this LSU team. I got the line at, I think, 4.5 or 5, something. I know I got it a point better than what I could have gotten, or like point better the day of than I could have got the day before. So I just hammered it.
And it came through.
It was LSU's year, man.
It wasn't even a sweat.
It was their year. You could tell.
You were down. You were down 10 points. You can say when you're down 10 points is a little bit of a sweat.
Oh, but I mean, a bet never becomes a sweat until the second half, anyways. Because goofy shit always happens in the first half, whatever, and then the second half football team, like, that's where covers happen. So, you know, of course, I didn't love being down 10 points. That sucks. That was like the worst start to the game we could have ever asked for an LSU cover. But I mean, the sweat doesn't start till the second half. If I started sweating at the beginning of the game, I'd have nothing to sweat out.
Early potatoes rot, man.
Right. Early potatoes rot.
There you go. I mean, this is why we have Uncle Mike on, because he brings us that kind of shit.
It felt like for a while there in the first half, that first quarter. Kevin, are you drinking something?
No.
What's that noise? That crinkling.
I have no idea.
It felt like in the first half there, LSU, they weren't going to be able to start a drive outside of their own 4-yard line, and if Clemson can keep them inside their own end zone, like, maybe they have a chance this entire game. But it's just not the way that football games work. Like, eventually a team's going to get space to work with.
Eventually Clemson scored, and then LSU got a little better field position, and the game was on.
Macon said it. It was LSU's year. It was a destiny year.
If they don't retire Joe Burrow's number, then no number ever deserves to be retired at Clemson, period. Or, I mean, at LSU, sorry.
Yeah. After
the game, he had such a good game that Clemson probably going to retire.
Clemson retires.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest.
Such a great season that the number gets retired across every college in the country. His stats are absolutely absurd. I saw somebody tweet inside the Iowa State universe that if you put his numbers up for this season alone against the career numbers and the all-time lists, he'd be sitting like fourth all-time on Iowa QB list for touchdown passes and first all-time by 10 touchdowns at Iowa State. Just absolutely absurd. I mean, what?
That's pretty disgusting.
I think he was responsible for 60 touchdowns or something stupid like that, or he threw for 60?
Yeah, 60 passing. He threw 60 touchdowns, and the old record was by Colt Brennan from Hawaii. And if you guys remember that season, it was just, he was out of his skull for the whole year. He threw 58, and then Burrow just goes for the 60 ball.
Unreal.
No problem.
They
either.
End up beating like 7 teams that were ranked in the top.
7 champions, or like bowl champions, I thought it was, or something like that.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah.
Their top 10 schedule was pretty ridiculous too.
Yeah, just
like how many top 10 teams they had to play in one year.
I think 5 of them. Just stupid.
It, I was going to say, it just doesn't matter if there was 4 teams in the playoffs or 16 or whatever. LSU champ.
This year it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Not at all. Pretty fun
and
to
that
watch.
And that mock playoffs, though, did you see that the Hawks would have played him?
Yeah. Yikes.
Could have mucked it up on Burrow. You never know. Never rule out the Hawks.
Well, Brady Ross. Brady Ross
are they playing it in Kinnick at night?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, we would have to go down to
bed. We would have been in the bayou, so we're fucked. Brady Ross, who I promise we're going to get him on. He said
it's close.
He said after the national championship, in a Snapchat conversation, that every year he watches the national championship, he gets reminded about how bad the Hawks would get beat by the national champion. And this year, he's absolutely right. The Hawks wouldn't have had a shot. That we just don't have the athletes across the board at 22 positions to.
I saw some incredible Twitter content about Joe Burrow having a decrease in receivers when he goes to the NFL. Like, sorry, Joe, your receivers at the Bengals are just going to be a downgrade.
He will. That's the thing.
After AJ Green leaves? Yeah.
After AJ Green comes to Green Bay next year.
Wow. Is that what's going to happen?
If Aaron Rodgers gets a healthy AJ Green, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Wait on it.
Wait,
I heard the rumor that he's going to the Patriots, but who knows?
I heard the rumor Brady's out, so why would he go there?
Yeah.
I mean, he still needs the next guy to throw the ball to someone. They ain't got no one besides Edelman.
I mean, I'm just saying, on a business standpoint, from AJ Green, who's never made the playoffs, why would he go to the Patriots if he knows Tom Brady's leaving? When he
can't. I don't know, man.
Rodgers coming off a Super Bowl. I mean,
Rodgers coming off a Super Bowl.
What do you guys think? Is Tom going to be in New England next year?
I think he just sold his house, didn't he?
His house is sold. He cut the price on it a lot from what he was asking at the beginning of the year. So I mean, everything's pointing to him being done in New England. I don't know, man. It's going to be weird seeing him in a different uniform because someone's going to sign him. He's still a top 20 quarterback in the NFL for sure.
Oh fuck, it's not even a question. And just by merit, he gets signed for the next probably 10 years as a backup QB to anywhere just because of who he is.
Now Tom Brady, I think he's just too much of a competitor. As soon as he's not operating at a level that he thinks he can, I think he'll hang.
Yeah,
up.
He'll be done.
But the thing is with him, like everyone knew, like. When Peyton Manning was getting ready to retire, like he just did not have the zip on the ball anymore. Brady still throws a good ball, man.
Great ball.
He's still got at least another year, if not two, left in him, I think.
And the way he controls a game is just, I don't think it can really be measured. You know, you see guys out there that don't get them in all the right plays and everything like that. Like that's the head coach standing behind center who can still sling it around. So I think that's like an invaluable thing to have.
I mean, he's older than like, five of the coaches in the NFL, I think.
Which is so weird.
And
isn't that weird?
He's been studying football with Bill Belichick for 19 years.
Well, it's similar to, I mean, that situation is like A-Rod and LaFleur. Like, Aaron's older than Matt LaFleur, right?
Yeah. I saw a clip last week because Rodgers drew up his own play and scored a touchdown. And he said when he came back to the sidelines, he said something to LaFleur, like, I told you I could do a kid. can you imagine going up to KF?
Like,
that is absolutely unbelievable.
Imagine.
See, this is why we have Make and Plevo on this show, because none of us would have ever brought that information to the podcast.
Imagine Nate Stanley runs off the sideline and goes, "Hey, Kirk, told you I could do it, huh?"
Thanks, kid.
I drew up a blitz for Coach Wallace one time. He didn't like it. I told him he's an idiot. It would work.
He didn't.
Here's a funny story. Here's a funny story. Make, you remember those one-on-one drills that we did with the linebackers where we ran routes?
Yeah.
So you know how we did the blitz pickup drill that we were just drawing dead in, right?
Yeah.
And then we, on the inverse, we did the route running drill that they were just drawing dead in.
Yeah.
It was my day to win a rep, and I did a wheel route on the running back drill and caught it. And it was me and Aaron Menz were going up against each other. And on the way back, Coach Ferentz in you know, I can't do the accent as well as everybody else. But he was just like, you know, Drake, you know, you made a hell of a play on our fastest linebacker there.
Hey, Drake.
And all I did, like, all I could think to do was pat him on the chest. And I just patted the head coach on the chest, didn't say anything, but smiled and walked back to the huddle. And I was like, damn, that was honestly fucking bad. I shouldn't have done that. Like, I should not have just patted the head coach on his chest.
You see Coach Ferentz get out the notebook, and he just like writes down a quick note. Drake Kulik patted me on the chest. Make sure to kick his ass off the team.
He does one of these. Grabs the gum.
Like, I had no idea why I did that. After I did it, I was so upset with myself.
Kulik gives extra 9-on-7 reps tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not like they didn't already give me those for 3 consecutive years until I was almost dead.
But you know that if the offense is having a good day, that it's a good practice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Especially the offensive line. If the receivers are dropping balls, you know, it's kind of whatever. Like, the running backs definitely can't fumble. But if the offensive line has a good day, the quarterback stands back there and can deliver the ball – everything was cool. Like, you know, it was a good practice. But if the offensive line gets beat,
yeah,
our whole team might as well be dog shit.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all in the trenches. I confirmed that with Johnny, my brother. I was like, is it still – I mean, is 9-on-7 still that important? Is it still about 23B? And he goes, that's all I know right now. I said, you're doing good, then, bud.
That makes my stomach hurt, dude. Oh. Thinking about going back and being old Johnny Plev at 19 years old or whatever he is, and knowing how many – so this was an important part in my career. So do you remember after the – in 15, we played senior day at home. Or I'm not obviously senior day was at home, but it was week 11, right, not week 12?
It was the Purdue game when it was
– okay.
Snow.
So, right. But after that game, Brian Ferentz came up to you and was like, it was you and Adam, and he was talking about how many B plays you guys thought you had ran in your career. You know, you guys were kind of chopping it up after senior day about, you know, everything you've been through. And me, I'm sitting there with 2 years left, already hate myself, even though we're undefeated. So that was badass. But I'm thinking, holy shit, dude. It feels like I've ran a lot of B plays and I've still got 2 more years of this
and
left.
And these two,
like,
guys are leaving?
I know. I remember that moment in particular, just that conversation that I was eavesdropping on. I was like, son of a bitch, I got quite a few left. And just, your boys got 4.
It's just like you get – when you get to Iowa, you know, you're not fully filled out yet. And you get bigger and stronger, but your neck constantly gets shorter. And
and thicker, dude. Just, and you keep pulling all them damn hang cleans. Your neck gets thick. And you shrink, obviously, because I know I was 6'2 when I went in there. And I'm not even close anymore. And I could dunk easy when I went in there, and I don't even think I can touch the rim anymore. So,
with your ankle, man. Not a chance, buddy.
No, I'm just kidding. I can definitely touch the rim. But seriously, that you do get a little stubbier through 5 years of the B play.
Dude, I look back at some pictures, like, I had no neck. I was like, oh my God.
Your ears start to disappear behind your shoulders. Man, he said, Macon's brother said, that's all I know right now. That is a tough place to be, man.
You know, but what he can feel good in and feel good about is that the linebacker type at Iowa is changing, dude.
Yeah.
They are changing to a speed linebacker. It's just like the way they're starting to play defense. They're recruiting incredible defensive lines and fast linebackers. Like, do you remember what it was like to hit some of those tanks? Oh,
yeah, he's playing today. He's playing today at fucking 2 against the Titans. That dude,
it's crazy.
Hit man.
Hit him a few times. Hit Chris a few times. Like, nobody hit harder than Chris Kirksey, even though he's a fast linebacker.
But, yeah. Leverage, man.
Man, I'm jealous of the running or the fullbacks coming up who don't have to hit Aaron Menz and Amani Jones every day.
You guys remember Kirksey 2013? So I was like, I mean, we had been not even there for a half a year yet. And
hey guys, yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
And we played Northern Illinois to open up, and he hit that guy in the flat for a fumble, yeah. Picked it up and returned it. I still see that play in my head. I had a perfect
That was
view.
Such an incredible play.
Is that the year Rudock tried throwing an out route with the game on the line?
I mean, which yeah, game?
I mean, dude, that, you just, you just described every game that we've ever played.
God damn. We're just, that's the second time. I don't know if you listened, Mike, but Drake said he would rather, if he could, he would have killed Rudock and brought Nate Stanley in to play for him while he was
and now careful just, of you.
That wasn't my exact quote. My exact quote was that if I could have Nate or Rudock playing quarterback, I said,
you'd kill Rudock.
I'd kill Rudock and I'd take Nate twice. So, you know,
Jake is Rudock, such a nice guy, too.
Yeah, Rudock, I'll say this, Rudock was always a really nice guy. But what really drew the last straw for me is when he came into the huddle in summer after someone got in trouble. And he said, the next guy to go downtown, I'm going to kick their ass.
Oh,
and everyone
boy.
At each other, like, all right.
All right. Hey, bud. Done. Hey.
That's it. You ready, buddy?
Hey, take your all-in chip and head to Ann Arbor, bud.
He's all in. You take a chip. I'm leaving, though, guys. See you later.
So he gave us a chip, but then the Golden Goat actually came in and led us to the chip.
Yeah, that's true. Siege. That back to that national championship game, a lot of controversy after the game with OBJ smacking cops' asses, handing out $100 bills, Drake, that seemed 100% straight down 45's alley.
Man, I'm a huge fan of that because Odell Beckham Jr. is not only one of the most famous athletes in the world, but he is by far the most famous Clemson alum living on earth right now, no question.
OBJ did not go to Clemson.
Okay. I was going to say.
I keep saying Clemson, dude, because I'm thinking Tigers. My fault, dude. LSU, my fault.
Take another puff,
so,
buddy.
So he's by far the most famous LSU alum.
Drake, how's the CTE doing, huh?
Take another puff, buddy.
Sometimes it acts up, especially when I'm trying to make an emphatic point. Then all them proteins build up in the same spot because they're flexing. My brain's flexing its muscles.
Easy, take a deep breath.
And so
speaking of being fucked up, if you look at the videos, OBJ was definitely like
he might have been off of a couple of different
he
substances.
He took some vitamins,
but that's, powder. That's neither here nor there. If the most famous Iowa alum of all time, the most famous Iowa player of all time. Throw out, you know, there's a
Niall Kinnick came out of the grave.
If Niall Kinnick came out
and started
of the grave
handing out $100 bills.
And started handing out $100 bills, I would give him the burrito lift out of the stadium. Okay. So that's how fucking excited I would be as a player, especially a player who is going from, okay, getting paid a little bit by LSU, obviously, but going to be getting paid a lot more as soon as he declares to the draft. Like Justin Jefferson's going to the draft. Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
He was the leading receiver. He's the SEC record holder for receptions or LSU record holder for receptions, something like that in a season. Like, he's going to the league. Okay, OBJ hands him a couple bands for his jersey. The man deserved it. The man made some money off of his name. About time.
Pretty wild.
I mean, is it just a bad thing because they caught it on camera? Because, like, if you go hang out with someone and they give you money, are you supposed to report it?
No, absolutely not.
Like,
I never did.
If you hang out with, I don't know, if after the game Ben Neiman wants to hang out and he starts throwing a guy cash, like his brother cash, is that fucked up?
No, just helping a brother out.
Yeah, and he's just giving him some. Yeah, it's a little extra per diem, you know. It's that KC per diem.
And listen.
Shout out
if
to
smacking
Ben
somebody, if smacking somebody of the same sex as you on the ass is illegal, then lock me up, dude, because I've smacked so many asses in my life, just randomly walked up behind somebody.
Of the same sex. No, here's the thing. You bring that to the jury, the judge, whatever the fuck it is. You'd be like, oh.
He's going to laugh at
you. He's on trial because he slapped a guy's ass in a locker room.
Yeah.
A national championship. Get the fuck out of my court.
Get the fuck out. And how about these fucking rent-a-cops, these Paul Blarts coming in the fucking locker room and thinking they're going to – saying they're going to arrest these national champs for smoking a cigar?
Yeah.
Dude, I wish Coach O to put the fucking cigar out on his forehead. Dotted his dumbass.
How about – how
– Go Tigers.
Joe Burrow looked real 1930s mobster with that cigar in his mouth, huh?
Joe Burrow's a gangster.
Yo, I can't
wait. Hey, go easy on that cigar, boy.
Hey, go easy on that cigar.
Take it easy on that cigar, boy.
Tigers. Go Hawks, go Tigers. Just incredible. What a season. They really are. I'd love to see them. It would be so cool in some way, somehow, to watch like one team from one generation play another team from another generation. Like watch that team play like Tim Tebow's Florida team or somebody like that, or like Reggie Bush's USC team, or you know, one of those games. That would be insane.
Ray Lewis's Dolphin, Hurricanes.
Okay, CTE. We're moving on.
I know, bro. I'm just CTE.
You know, it's funny you bring up that point. You guys saw when James tweeted out 2015 Hawkeyes versus 2019 Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
We'd beat them.
It'd be a good game.
It would be a good game. Be fun to.
I think that it's the two best teams of the decade, I think. I don't think.
Well, for sure, yeah.
I mean, I think maybe 2010 has an argument, but other than that.
I think it'd be a pick 'em spread.
2013 could play too, man. I'm telling you that. That was a good.
They were a gritty bunch, dude.
They really were.
They just learned. They just knew how to win.
Yeah.
I think we just lacked some talent on offense in that game as far as playmakers. But yeah, we had a really good offense and defensive line that year.
We knew how to.
What win do you games. Mean, dude? We had the out throwing king.
they had Method that came on in 2013. He did play against LSU, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah. Speaking of teams how to win.
Yeah.
The Hawks get it done versus Michigan on the basketball court.
Michigan just needs to stop coming to Iowa City. It's over with for the University of Michigan sports and Iowa City.
Yeah,
they can't do it.
Tough run when they come south to the homeland. And this Iowa basketball team, man, pretty resilient. They got some
gritty
guys.
Bunch.
Bro, give me Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp over
everybody.
Any of just get you pick your two and I got my two. All right.
Give me Giannis.
I just gotta say,
well, okay, relax, guy.
Bucks fan.
We're talking Big Ten basketball here,
I know,
dickhead.
I'm kidding.
Fans just gotta
by the way,
appreciate them while they're here, man, because they ain't gonna be here forever. No. They're fun to watch.
They are.
By the way, Macon, I'll take this opportunity to assault the city of Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Bucks organization.
Why? Because we beat the shit out of L.A. twice?
No, because, first of all, I need you to shut up. This is my time to speak. But I want to say so because I went on a trip to Milwaukee to watch L.A. versus Milwaukee. And both Giannis and LeBron sat, and it was the worst time ever. And Milwaukee's a shitty city. They got a shitty team. Fiserv Forum is a shitty name for an arena. They got Giannis, and that's cool and everything, but they're still not going to win the title again. They're just going to underperform when it matters. And that's really all I have to say about Milwaukee. As for Green Bay, pretty much bang, bang. I'm done.
Well, first of all, you know, since you came all the way up there and you didn't get to see him, I'd like to personally apologize for absolutely fucking
for absolutely fucking nothing.
For nothing.
I'd like to apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. Let's talk about the king. He's back.
Let's talk about the king. He's back.
McGregor,
quick work.
Donald
quick
Cerrone, work 42nd fight. I never stay up to watch fights.
Dude, and I love Cowboy too. Cowboy has been a legend in the game forever. He's been head kicking people into a different dimension for like 12 years.
It was a good retirement bonus gift from the UFC.
It was. It was. It was probably his last really big fight of his career. He's still going to fight because he loves to fight, he said. But that's probably the last time he gets an absolute pinnacle guy. And he got a fat bonus on his way out. But Conor looked.
Yeah, the UFC
Conor
just said.
Like a freight train.
UFC just said, here's $30 million and a broken nose. Thanks for
yeah, pretty much.
Man. We appreciate your service.
I'd take a little nose job in 30 mil in a second.
Dude, listen, I took a nose job in a Machine Gun Kelly concert for free.
I think make
it least. Looks like your nose got better for that. Yeah. So fuck, I have to go to a couple more.
Wow. 40 seconds. I didn't watch a fight. I never do because they're too late for this guy. But I really like fighting in the UFC, and it's very intriguing to me, and I follow it somewhat, probably more than the average person. Woke up, typed it in, McGregor Cerrone fight, saw the McGregor TKO 40 seconds, and I was just like, that son of a bitch. He did it again.
Dude, he is, like, for all the shit he talks, he actually really is like
the mystic, cool.
One of the best martial artists on the planet. And he has one of the most lethal left hands ever possessed. Period,
last night it was the foot, though.
His weight class.
Last night
it was. Well, it was a whole assortment of things.
It was the shoulder.
But yeah, just in general, everybody who gets in the octagon with that guy is so afraid to get that left hand on him, because as soon as it touches him, it's just like a bomb.
It's
goes
a sniper
off.
Rifle, and I make you mentioned it when he was locked up, and they were kind of you know close.
That's how he broke his nose.
He was given lethal.
The shoulder,
shoulder.
Dude. How explosive was that? How much power was he producing there? His force
it's like
production,
a 4-inch movement, and he was doing damage. It was wild.
I think that's what he said too in this post game. He's like, that's how I snapped the nose on the second shoulder or something.
I mean, can you imagine feeling a guy's nose crinkle underneath your shoulder blow? Like, do you just, and it just sounds like you're snapping a toothpick or something like that.
Shout out Cowboy, though. All he did was step back and keep throwing hands.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, those dudes are absolutely tough as shit. So there you go, Drake. You got a little fight talk in. That's nice. You don't normally. But when something like that happens, we got to mention it.
Man, listen, there's another big one coming up. John Jones about to fight, and he is arguably the best fighter in the history of the world. So that might be a good conversation afterwards too, but we'll see.
They're trying to make it seem like McGregor's going to slip into this Khabib Ferguson fight, man. They keep talking about it. I don't know why.
Well, Tony has a history of getting hurt. Hopefully that doesn't actually happen, because I really want to see Tony and what he offers to Khabib, because Khabib looks like an unsolvable, an unbeatable, you know, force.
He's incredible.
But
this was all.
But Tony, the way Tony does things, he has a chance to do it, man. He fears none. That's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And, I hope they make it that far. But what I think is going to happen is McGregor is going to get Jorge, and the winner of that has their pick of the litter.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
That kind of brings us to today and some very important football games. We're gonna find out who's playing in the Super Bowl today. And let's
look. Match of the first Super Bowl ever. Let me cut to the chase.
Chiefs pack, is that what it's going to be?
I'm just saying it now.
That's a butt cheeks prediction.
It's
sexy.
Against what you're saying, Mike, and what you would like to see, I think a 49ers Titans Super Bowl would be super cool. Just because you never see that. Like, when in the last 20 years have we seen those two teams at the top of the game? Like,
State Farm wants a Mahomes.
Oh yeah.
Super Bowl.
If State Farm has anything to say about it, these games today are already over, because they've got those two locked up.
That's absolutely true. And my roommate Jared said that the NFL's rigged and it's year 100 and they're replaying the first Super Bowl period. That's what he says. But I've got Niners money line, Titans covering 7.5 on a parlay. So we're going to try and take that one to the bank.
I
love the Titans. I don't got a problem with that.
Titans can cover, but Chiefs are winning, man. Our boy Ben Neiman is going to be shutting down Derrick Henry all by himself.
I texted Ben yesterday, wished him good luck and everything, and let him know that in the fourth quarter, if they got the game in the bag, just chill out a little bit because I got the Titans plus 7.5. And he was not very happy to hear that. He was not pleased with me.
That's some bullshit, man.
That's wild stuff.
Well, listen, that just means I have Amani and Parker plus 7.5. So it's not like I'm not betting the Hawks.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I got Hawks in every game.
The Hawk is winning
the Super Bowl.
We got Hawks winning rings this year. That's pretty fucking cool.
I mean, a lot of you listening have probably seen the tweet. There's not a team out there that has more guys in the NFL left playing than the Iowa Hawkeyes. Seven on active, and then Parker is practice squad for the Titans, right?
Yep.
So here's a Hawkeye take for you, Drake. So everyone's boosting the fucking 49ers because the last time they played the Packers, they beat the shit out of them, right? 38. Mm-hmm. But the fucking Packers were missing their number one Hawkeye. Brian Bulaga was out.
Bulaga, man.
And fucking their D-line ran wild on us. Well, Bulaga's in.
That's a big deal. Right? That's a big deal. So, but see, when Bulaga's in and Bulaga is playing well.
He's playing a good fucking year. Yeah.
That's a big deal, man. But D Ford is also back.
Yeah, yeah. Niners weren't healthy either.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, it's such a great matchup. I'm glad it's on TV. I'm glad we get to enjoy it.
So their defensive coordinator, our head coach, was their defensive coordinator's best man at his wedding. Obviously, Shanahan and LaFleur grew up together. LaFleur's brother coaches for the 49ers. So this is like a fucking battle from the top down.
There's not much more you could ask for when you're like, if you had to put a matchup together and a story, this is what you want when you want TV. Like it
mm-hmm. Vegas is pretty confident in the Niners because they're minus 7.
They moved up. So I took them 8. I thought. No, the
minus 8, you mean?
No, the pack. Yeah, I was saying the Packers line went to plus 8.
I just took the money line instead of minus 7 because I'm not that confident in them covering 7 because, you know, I do think the Packers are a pretty damn good team, and 7 in the NFL is a lot of points to give, especially in the playoffs.
My fearless prediction, been a lot of dogs winning.
Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
No, I said my fearless prediction is going to come down to the wire, and Rodgers is going to pull one of the run at himself.
If it's 2 minutes and Rodgers, I'm going to be very sick to my stomach.
They're going to march down the field, and then he's going to, whether it's a 2-point conversion or a 4th down, whatever, he's going to pull one of these fuckers and run it in and put on the belt. Like in Chicago.
If he puts on the belt to bust me up in a parlay, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
It's his year, man.
I'm going to be pretty happy knowing that you're pretty pissed.
I will not be back on this podcast for a while if you get today. That's all I'm going to say.
It's going to be a while before make it, so everybody enjoy listening to him.
It'll be the NBA playoffs.
My personal opinion is that the favorites both win, but they neither cover. I don't think either. I think this is a field goal game in both games, maybe closer.
I love that, Kluver.
I think both favorites win, but neither cover. Kev, what do you think?
Niners win, don't cover. Chiefs win and cover.
Okay.
No, Kevin.
Yes, Greg.
One of them's going to cover, the Chiefs, I mean, you saw it last week. They were down. I mean, they had 3 quarters to win a game that they were down 3 scores in 4 scores. And
they're scoring at will.
They can put up points like Brady Ross in middle school.
Is all alleged, by the way. I've yet to see any of the film. Though I did see film of him hitting some dude in the blind side so hard that he got helicoptered off the field.
Did he put that on his highlight tape?
It was on his highlight tape. It wasn't the lead play, though, which is stupid. Because if I had a kid medevaced, it would be the only play. It would be my fucking intro. It would be how fast I could run the fake 40, 10 pounds more than I actually weigh, and then the kid getting medevaced off the field. And I would just send that fucking video to every single person. Like, hey, do you want me to eat souls for your program, or do you want me to eat your soul? And Drake, you know, Kulik, I just have scholarships through the roof.
Drake Kulik, fullback, musketeer.
Drake Kulik, fullback.
No, I was a linebacker back then.
Bro. I know, so but that's how you interview with that tape. Like Drake Kulik, fullback. That's all you need to know.
Jesus.
Wear this hat and just.
Yeah, dude, if that hat was around when I played, I would have never taken it off.
For sure. I know. That's true.
Well,
I thought of it.
Any other thoughts today, men? Anything special going on? Any
shout out to Mark Wiseman?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Huge shout out to Mark Wiseman.
Who we got need to get up on the podcast. Like, we're gonna get.
I've wanted to ask him for a long time, but Mark has always known me to be a complete shithead, and he knows that I'm still a total shithead, and that's one of the most professional and just like clean living.
That dude's
good
locked
dudes.
In. He deserves.
Man, he's
it.
Locked. In
he to be fair, though,
I don't know. I would feel like it was disrespectful to ask him, man, because he's better than us.
To be fair, Drake, he's not the only one that thinks that about you.
Right,
no, he'd do
and
it.
I understand that
he'd do it.
I sure no, it. He would do it, and I do think. I mean, shout out to you, Mark. He is the type of guy who now springboarding off of being under Doyle and all that. Would not surprise me if Mark Wiseman becomes a major Division I college strength condition coach someday at all.
Absolutely he's going to be not. At the top. He's going to be at the top because that's all Mark knows. He's always been the
best. He
excels
at everything. Yeah. And
extremely smart, man. Extremely, extremely smart, too.
Works harder than anyone.
Absolutely.
So
he's
shout out,
Mark. Talking about all in.
Yeah.
That dude's all in for sure. He's a good-ass dude, too, and he works his ass off. So,
yeah.
He deserves it.
Man, I'm glad that I got to be mentored by Mark Wiseman for a while. Yeah. Mark Wiseman's one of those guys that you just will never forget for sure. Ever.
It makes life easier when that's the running back you're blocking for.
Damn.
That's true.
You know who made life really easy though is Akram. Akram made up for many of my mistakes.
Akram,
yeah.
I missed dudes sometimes, but they missed him and it didn't matter
Akram
at all.
Akram was his own fullback. It was
Hey.
For better or for worse, you're in there. Shout out to the running backs.
Shout out. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. You're welcome back anytime.
I feel like this is going to be a hell of an episode to listen to.
You're welcome back anytime. Now, if the Packers lose, I understand there's going to be a grace period that we need to let you recover from. But again, thanks for coming. You're always good content.
Go, Pack, go.
And that's all we need.
Get the strap. Get the strap.
Drake, we released the video versions of this now. You realize that, right?
I'm a legal gun owner in the state of Arizona.
Well, for Macon, Drake, and Kevin, that is episode 82 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, boys.
See you.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.